Kind of a different day today, isn't it, with the pastor gone? Gives me great pleasure, though, to introduce my son.
Hello, my name is Ben Flugum. Gotta get just, usually when I'm speaking in a mic like this, I'm in front of a judge, but... Dad asked me to speak today again and give my testimony. They also added some Bible verses and things to kind of, so he told me what the sermon text would be about the feeding of the 5,000. So, hold on. Look, it's one thing in looking up scripture about hunger and how, you know, we look to God to fill our need. And what's interesting is that that crowd of 5,000, which and studying it more, is mainly just men. I guess that it was probably more closer to 15,000, because it said in the text, not including women and children, so there's plenty more. So the fact that the fishermen that were with Jesus weren't even the ones that provided the fish. It was a little lad. I thought it was kind of neat that, you know, God uses anybody. And one thing about the loaves is, and reading about it, that like the loaves, I guess, back then weren't like the loaves we know today. They were like the size of a big bun or something like that. So, not that it wouldn't have been a miracle anyway, but even more, like that, you know, that many people. Plus, there's leftovers, so clearly it's a miracle. But I guess what's interesting is that they knew they were seeking something besides bread. That's why they're following Jesus. It's not like they had a food truck and, you know, they were like, oh, there's the food. Like, so clearly they were seeking something. That's, I guess, that's in all of us, and we just don't know how to deal with it. And for me, it was all the alcohol, and then got into drugs where I was seeking to fill a void, seeking to get some kind of pleasure or meaning in my life. That, and I struggled with it, and it just got worse. And I think it came to a head, and in 2016 was probably one of the worst years of my life, because I was working for a parks department job up in Mankato. Fell off a truck, and luckily didn't get more injured, but I broke my back. Had a compression fracture in my T7. So I was on work comp for a while, and as a man who have three daughters, you know, and I was married at the time, we always like to feel like they're the provider, you know, and that really made me feel kind of like a loser, where I couldn't do anything. So, and I was known to have a few beers, you know, like after work and stuff like that, but when I didn't have anything to do all day and I couldn't move, I couldn't lift things, I just started to feel that void. I started drinking in the morning, and that's when it started getting real bad. Well, so I was, started a slope into a very dark place where I just felt like I wasn't contributing, I had no worth in life, It's just always trying to, and the alcoholism just got worse and worse because it feeds on that depression, that negativity. At the time when the injury happened, my wife was also pregnant. So we were expecting, obviously, a fourth child. Like I mentioned, I have three daughters. Well, we went in for, about halfway through the pregnancy, we went into for the second ultrasound. And the doctor came in. You know, I can read people read the room and read people pretty well. So I knew something was wrong because he came in and he just kind of, oof. And he immediately looked at the ultrasound screen and turned to us and said, I'm sorry to say this, but your baby doesn't have a heartbeat. So on top of being injured and already kind of feeling like no worth, and just at least that was something looking forward to. And that just devastated us. And on top of that, I found out it would have been my first son, because I had three daughters. So it just seemed like it just kept getting worse, and then I just started drinking more, got it, and that's when I basically gave up. I really had no will to live, even though I had a family. Like, I just thought, I'm worthless, I can't do anything. Like, and it started a very deep, dark slide into depression and just self-pity. Just like, I just didn't care. I basically gave up. I started drinking very heavily, whereas up to like basically a case of beer a day, just like start in the morning. Like, that's all I drank, just beer, didn't even eat. And God wasn't done with me, and I'm glad that, you know, he pulled me out, because I eventually got arrested, and I was passed out in my car. So all of a sudden I hear a, you know, knock on the window. I'm like, oh, hi, officer. I'm like, no, it's okay, I don't need a pillow and blanket. You know, thinking, well, he got called for a welfare check, and then, so I learned the hard way, apparently you can get a DUI when you're not even driving. So I was passed out in my car, and that was my second one, so it just seemed to be kept getting worse, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm done. I really gotta stop drinking. And I knew I was trying to cover up pain and anger and just feeling of worthlessness. I knew what I was doing. I just didn't really care anymore. And I started seeing a psychologist, a grief counselor in Mankato. Somebody had recommended him to me because he could identify with my loss, because he also lost a son. A little different. His was in the military. His son died in Iraq, I believe, or Afghanistan. But either way, he was a... that perked my ears up. So I'd like to talk to somebody that knows what they're talking about and has been through it, you know, and he's also a Christian, so it was just a godsend. Like, I love that man. I give him credit. God used him to really change my heart and change my life, because I started seeing him for about a year, and he taught me how the power of positive thinking, positive self-talk, does work. I always thought that stuff can be kind of cheesy or maybe like, okay, well, corny or something like that. Well, so I kind of just, all right, I'll try it. So he gave me a mantra to, because I didn't have a license because I just had a DUI, so I was doing a lot of walking. And he gave me a mantra. He goes, when you're walking around, just say this. He goes, I'm a good man. I'm a loved, chosen child of God. And I just, as I'm walking, I just kept saying that. Eventually, it starts to sink in. Like, you know, my identity is not stuff that's happened to me, or that I'm alcoholic, or, you know, God does love me, you know, because I've been through a lot of stuff, and slowly I started to see the light and come out of it. And then because I had the DUI, I ended up getting a Rule 25, they call it, where it's, they recommended treatment, so I still wasn't quite giving up, because I'm stubborn. So I said, well, I like outpatient, because I think then I can kind of still drink a little bit. Like, that doesn't work. So my very first outpatient schedule one was at 9 in the morning. Very first one, I show up, and she goes, Ben, can I speak to you for a second? So I'm like, sure, what's up? You have a cup. She's like, have you been drinking? I'm like, She could check and smell it on you, because I had obviously drank the night before. I thought, well, if I quit by midnight, then I'm not drinking that. And I'm like, well, no, I didn't drink today. Like, but I was just trying to play the game. And she goes like, yeah, maybe you need inpatient. I'm like, maybe you're right. So I'm glad that I finally just gave up. I'm like, all right. I'm sick of lying to myself, lying to people, like just trying to play it both ways, like, I'm all in. Just, all right, let's go. That was just another step that God used to really change my heart and change my attitude, change my life. So I went to a high-intensity inpatient treatment. It was Project Turnabout in Granite Falls. And I knew it was the person that, they, like a licensed drug and alcohol counselor, did my evaluation. They recommend, they said it's a very highly rated place. And after being there, I can tell because they didn't take any grief or any blankety blank from anybody. Like, if you weren't taking it serious, you know, you're out of there. And they had strict rules, but it's all for our benefit. Like, you know, you got to get healthy. And I just, so I went through it and I completed the program, got my coin and like that. But that's when it really hit me, the treatment. Although everybody's dealing with some sort of addiction, it's really about healing your heart, healing inside, that whatever it is that is, that is broken in you that makes you want to drink or want to use drugs. So once I learned that, I'm like, you know, this is kind of interesting because I'm getting healed, like learning about how to how the addiction is a disease, and that's why you got to control it, but you also need to work on your attitude, your negative thinking. Like, you got to start being an adult and just start doing things like how God, you know, meant us to be, just making, even though they're tough decisions at times, but the right. So I went through it and gave it my all. And then, so I completed that program, and then after that went to kind of like a halfway house, but they call it medium intensity. And I was there for 3 months. So for 4 months straight, I was in treatment. And that was it's similar, where you're required to attend a certain amount of group hours. But anyway, after doing all that, that's when I really started gaining confidence, because I was taking it serious. And just the change in just a few months, like, it was just amazing. I could see it myself. Like, I had more confidence. I had no desire to drink. And it's easy to say that when you're in treatment. But still, I was just like, you know, I'm starting to like myself again, feel like the, you know, my sense of humor is coming back. I consider myself kind of intelligent, but I, you know, my brain started working again, where I could remember things. I'm a good speller, you know, things like that. I could read things and grasp it, not just like, or watch a movie and grasp it and not be like, what just happened? You know, because everything was working again. I just felt great. Just, and I guess they could see it too, because they actually made me the peer advocate, which basically like you're not the staff, but you're like the, I guess it'd be like being the vice or the president of the class or like in high school or something like that. So they chose me, the peers actually chose me, because they kind of looked up to me and like, you know, Ben, he's, you know, he's good to talk to. He has a lot of good things to say, good advice. And I know it's just God, because, you know, there was another way that God was, you know, like molding me into his image, you know, somebody that's full of grace and mercy and truth. Like, even though at times maybe I didn't feel like talking or like that, or, you know, get kind of annoying. Like, I'm trying to work on my own assignment, they'd always want help because they knew, like, Ben knows what he's talking about, I'll go ask him. But I'm like, well, I'll just kind of just thought, well, they need help, so I'll do it. Like, the old cliche, what would Jesus do? And okay, I'll just help him. And then that was last year. I actually got out of treatment in July of last year, 2019. It was June of 2018 where I got my DUI, so it's been about 17 months, I think, that I've been clean and sober. So life is going much better. And when Dad asked me to speak, I was like, sure, if it helps somebody, you know, like, I'm never afraid, because I'm not ashamed of it, you know. Everybody has darkness in their past, and I went through it for a reason, I know, because I've decided, like, I probably have an interest to become a counselor now or a psychologist, because I've gotten so much help from people like that. And I looked into going to school again. But I thought it was interesting how the the word or the text for today. It's about feeding the 5,000 men, and then even the songs. One of them, there's a line in there of how God, gives us a hunger of our heart. Or and it's like it's so true. It fits because I wasn't filled. It was just all empty calories when I was, I was still empty inside. I was the broken man. And in reading some, I found some, one of my favorite verses. It's found in Ecclesiastes, chapter 6, verse 7. It's, all a man's labor is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not satisfied. I thought that's so true, and I guess the Hebrew word there could also mean soul. And that really hit home to me, because it's like all, think of just in this world, we work and work to gain things and eat and consume. It's all empty. It doesn't really, you still feel unsatisfied. Even hear people that have it all, like people in NBA or NFL, like if they struggle, they, rich and famous, they have it all, and there is just something that was missing. And it's because they don't know it, but they need Jesus. They need God in their heart. It wasn't until I conformed to that, I fell in love with God again. I just fell in love with the Bible again. I was like, I'm so glad that he rescued me out of that dark place where I was at one point. I didn't mention, but my wife actually kicked me out shortly before I got that DUI. So it was added to the darkness. So I was basically at one point homeless, addicted to drugs and alcohol, just at the worst, no employment, no car, no license, nothing. That's hitting rock bottom was weird to say, but probably the best thing that happened because it got me down to the bedrock of God where he could start building me up again. And going through all that, sure, it wasn't fun, but I know there's a reason for it because now I can help others. I can share my experience, in treatment, they call it experience, strength, and hope we share. Strategy of others, because just like when I was going seeing the counselor and he had lost his son as well, the same with addicts or anybody that's dealing with struggles, if it does mean more if you've been through it too, is knowing in treatment a lot of the counselors were former addicts, and it does mean more, and look what they did. They turned their life around. They got LEDC. They went to college and they're gainfully employed. They're sober. It can happen. So I think glad that God can use me as that light, light in a dark world where it's like it'd be an example. But yeah, I'm so glad I got sober because life is so much better. I love nature and I used to always go for hikes and walks and stuff like that. But now it's so much better because I've always been fan of creation, how God made this wonderful world. And now I'm in a better place where I don't take anything for granted. I'm way more, patient than I used to be. I ended up getting divorced, so my ex-wife, but we still get along great because she can see that I'm different now, and I know she's proud of me. But even she is sometimes I'm talking to her, she just I can tell that she knows I'm different because she's the way I react to things, she's you're going to do that? Something going shopping or, because I just wanted to hide in a cave and drink all the time. I just didn't want anything to do with society I just wanted to sit in my darkness. And or when, my youngest daughter, now I have a great relationship with her now, so it's, I'm so glad that it didn't get worse because I would have just never been there for her. Now we have she loves me a lot. She calls me. We talk every night on the phone and sometimes video chat over Messenger. And, and it's nice that I can functional adult again for the most part. I can drive. I can pay my bills. I have car insurance. It's wow. This is what it feels like to be a responsible adult. Like, I can buy things for my daughter's birthday. Like, it's because, you know, there was a need, and I was always seeking to fill it, but God showed me without him, it's all empty. Dad sent me a text the other day, Psalm 119. And I know that's a really long one, but I decided, I'm just going to read it because, you know, I take those little things as like a hint from God, you know. So I'll just read the whole thing. And another verse, it's not the specific verse he sent, but another one stood out to me, and so I know it was meant. God meant me to read that. This was no coincidence that Dad sent that text, but Psalm 119, verse 71. It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. When I read that, I was like, holy cow. I get like chills when, like, it was good for me. You know, think of all the great men in the Bible. Like, they all had weaknesses and, like struggles and stuff, but it's all a pruning. It's all a molding of us. And, you know, when I finally gave up, like, you know, life isn't supposed to be easy. It's just, you just gotta learn. Like a wise person said when I was in treatment, somebody said, never forget, she goes, everybody you meet is both your student and your teacher. And ever since then, I was like, kind of just always pay attention. You never know when you're gonna learn something, and also be a good example because you never know when somebody else is gonna learn. And I hit home when I was in treatment as well, because it was humbling, because God, I'd have a hard time with, like, judging others, especially if they, you know, were, like, you know, addicted to drugs that I wasn't into, and just kind of, like, judge them, like, oh, at least I'm not like that. And it's just terrible of me, really. I mean, it's not Christ-like, but I noticed one in, like, the lobby or whatever, and I was like, oh, that guy, you know, and, well, he ended up being my roommate. But we ended up becoming good friends. Like, after treatment, we still connect. And he was like half my age and had a mohawk, you know, just didn't look anything like me. But it taught me, like, you know, we'd sit up and chat till 2 a.m, and he'd sometimes share things that were helpful to me. And I was like, you know, well, no wonder says God, to, you know, as God asks us not to judge. Like, God knows everybody's hearts, you know. Don't judge by the outward appearance. So ever since then, I'm just, you know, still need some more humbling, but not yet. I'm so glad I went through all that. One thing about the feeding miracle is, I didn't know this. I probably read it at one point, but there's actually not the first one in the Bible. I was just, you know, like I said, if going through and reading about hunger and, you know, getting nourishment from God. So I was going to read something out of the Old Testament, because I read it and, like, my gosh, like, that sounds very familiar. But in 2 Kings, Second Kings chapter 4, and then verse 42 through 44. Pretty short, but it's to me, it's powerful, especially considering the text for today. Now a man came from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God, was Elisha is the man of God, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and fresh ears of grain in a sack. And he said, give them to the people that they may eat. His attendant said, what, will I set this before 100 men? But he said, give them to the people that they may eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over. So he set it before them, and they all ate and had some left over according to the word of the Lord. I thought, I never knew that was in there. I'm sure I read it at one point, but totally forgot that it's obviously like a preview of the miracle of Jesus. Was, that Jesus was going to perform later, obviously for many more people, but still loaves of bread. I think that's reading that is when I found out the loaves were like buns. So like one man could easily eat a few of those, and the fact that 20 of those fed 100 men, and they had leftovers. I mean, people that are skeptical, like, well, they could probably get enough if they split it. Well, why would there be leftovers? And so clearly God was operating there and performed a miracle. So, one at a time, okay. How am I doing on time? Do I have to? It's whatever. Oh. Well, I was born in 1977, and I just want to thank my dad and thank the church for giving me this opportunity to share my story. And I was excited. It's one of the first times I've ever done it, so I was a little nervous. But I'm hopefully that anybody listening here, somebody that knows anybody, that I'm sure we all know somebody that has a family member that struggles with things, not just addiction, but just I learned recovery is just about getting healed of whatever we need healing from. So, you know, it's a hard step, but taking the courage to look at yourself and, like, what do I need fixing? And for me, it was a lot of anger and unforgiveness and self-doubt, but now I feel way different, and I'm so happy. I can enjoy my life, the freedom that God gave me. And, I don't need to feel, or don't need, you know, alcohol or drugs to feel happiness. Like, just life is really good. And thank you all for listening. God bless.